Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home. Welcome to Rock Solid Families Podcast. This is Merle Hutchinson being joined by my beacon of hope, my deliverer of light,
my beacon brightness, of hope.
My brightness of my day, Miss Linda Hutchinson.
Hello. I didn't like that.
I know. But I thought I would just sort of exaggerate it.
So where's that coming from?
Well, you know, last week we did our whole show on transformations and transformations, how when you're in the pit of the transformation, how you can get to the edge of hopelessness because it beats you up, right? It's not always easy. And so, but when you get toward the other side of it and you start to actually recognize some of the changes and things that are happening and the fruit of that, you go, wow. I have this thing called hope.
Yeah.
And so you get a rebirth, right? And we see that all the time in people. You know, hon, in last week's show, we talked about our own transformations. And we talked about not just ours, but this week we're going to talk about some different stories of people. But I'm just reminded of the power of some of that transformation, and people are clueless when they're in the middle of it, how they can, when we work, we've worked before with drug addicts, and when they are in the middle of that, I mean, it's day-to-day desperation, survival, but we know a number of them that have come through that. And now they are the best drug addiction counselors out there because of the transformation and the knowledge and wisdom that they have now. And so it creates something that is a pathway that they never even thought that they would have been on.
Right. But, you know, it's funny that you said drug addicts, because the problem that we see is that a lot of people get stuck in the narrative of who they think they are or what other people say they are. And so instead of those struggling with addiction, they kind of consider themselves an addict, and this is always the way it's going to be. And so, you know, our story last week, we shared, we definitely weren't here to brag on ourselves, because God wants the glory and we want to give him the glory. And so it has nothing to do with anything we've earned or deserved. And as a matter of fact, I think about that verse out of Ephesians 2 that talks about this is a gift, you know, and that you're saved by grace through faith. And it's not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so Ephesians 2, 8, 9 really reminds us, like, don't take credit for it. This is God working in you. And then that is so that no one can boast.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, once you come through that and you realize what God did for you, then you can boast on him.
Yes.
On him, and you, and the recognition that it was only through him, because you didn't even have the understanding or the tools to figure it out. And so, you know, hon, in 1 Peter 3:15, it talks about the idea of, and as believers in Jesus Christ, we are all called to share hope with others. This free gift is not supposed to be a secret.
That's not the verse.
That's not, oh, that's what you wrote on it. And so we are called to share hope with others. And so the hope comes from the idea that there was desperation prior to that. And so when you do have a transformation, when you do have a testimony that is your story, you know, part of that is to not just help you continue to heal, but it is also to give people energy and hope in their own struggle.
Yeah. 1 Peter 3:15 does say, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. I think about those in Celebrate Recovery, hon, which is, you mentioned addiction. And so a lot of times when you come out of addiction, you want to try to help as many people as possible, help them understand there is hope, there is change available, transformation is powerful. And so we believe, and they believe in Celebrate Recovery, that the higher power is Jesus Christ. And so that's what we believe. We believe that Christ is the one that redeemed us and transformed us. And so, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of people out there listening to this show who are hungry for hope. Maybe things have gotten very difficult in their life. They're full of despair. They're getting hopeless. You know, we recently had a student in our school system, our local schools, who ended his life in junior high, ended his life. And so he lost hope. And so we are hoping that this story, this podcast, we're going to be sharing stories of hope.
Yeah, yeah. So let's thank our sponsors, and then let's get in and actually talk about some of the people who have given us permission to share, because they do want to see that other people can capture some of that hope and realize there's something better out there. So let's thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. So we greatly appreciate the vision that they have for not just the work that they do, but also the people that they serve. And one way that those companies have come out to provide hope is to help something that's completely out of their line of work, and that's to help just feed the community. And this is the work that we do at Rock Solid Families is part of how they helped serve. And so we just want to thank them for having a vision for that.
So one of our stories I want to share is a woman named Kendra, who's given us permission to share part of her story. And she came to Rock Solid Families 2 years ago with her now ex-husband. But at the time, they were separated. And they had come to me looking for how to restore the relationship. And so, unfortunately, she had been in two different physically abusive marriages. And this was her second husband. And she would admit now that she was looking for hope and love in men. And men instead of God. Even though she was a believer, she loved God, she had a church home, this man would mock her faith, mock her church, very manipulative, you know, and I could tell things weren't good, but neither one of them were being honest and open about what's been going on. And that's very typical for an abusive situation, a domestic violence situation. But she had been strangled by her husband on multiple times, so much so that she had bruises. And so finally, she got the courage to leave her husband and to charge him with strangulation. And this husband had had 26 prior charges against him, everything from assault to domestic violence to attempted murder. He had slashed two other people's faces before. And in every single case, and I'm saying this with her permission and with documentation from the courts, 26 times he had been charged, but the people had never shown up for the court. And they had been so manipulated and so threatened and bullied that they dropped the charges.
Yeah.
She was the very first one that ever followed through and went to court. And of course, they cross-examined her. They tried to, you know, really challenge her way that she handled that. And why did she try to go back with him? And just everything that domestic violence partners get and, you know, really accusations. But She won that case, and she is now divorced from this man. He is in prison, and she is finding hope again. She's finding freedom again in Christ. And she knows now, and she told me to make sure that I say this to women who are coming out of abusive relationships, whether it be a marriage or a boyfriend or something. She now realizes Revelation 2:4, which really talks about forsaking your first love, that she had forsaken God is number one and traded that in for the love and the approval of a man all her life. And for the first time, she's realizing her worth and value in Christ. And oh my gosh, I'm so proud of her. She has shared her testimony. She works with shelters now. Like, she knows that this is something that God is going to use in her life to offer hope to other women.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea that she is now using that as fuel and motivation to go out and see the stories of other people and how hers and that person's story could intersect and how she could feed into that. I think one thing that happens, hun, out of these stories is you develop a very keen eye for recognizing similar situations in other people. Yep. And when you get on the other side, you have this sixth sense of being able to go, I know exactly what they're going through. And you, that's why you become very, very hypersensitive to understanding it.
Yep.
And you become a great resource and tool. Now, again, if it's not laid on your heart or you're still in the healing process yourself, then that's probably, you know, no, you don't react to that. You continue your healing. But oftentimes you see somebody and you go, oh, I know what they're going through.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right, hon. And she's actually through the domestic shelter and violence initiative. I can't remember the exact name of it. They have helped her get to college and she was going for business. And now she, you're right. She has completely shifted her career, feels a calling now to work with other women and is going into human services to help women in shelters and agencies. And so now she knows that God wants to use her pain, her struggle, and has completely transformed her life. And now she finds her worth and value in Christ. And I'm so proud of her. And Kendra, I'm sure you're going to be listening to this. And we are so thankful for you letting us share your story of hope.
Yeah. Well, I would like to steal the scene for a little
bit. Sure. Tell us a little bit about your story of hope.
So I have worked with a couple, and I'll just use their first names, and they've given me permission as well. And one thing they said is, we hope that our story can help somebody. And so this is a story of Emily and Austin, and this is a young couple. They're in their mid to late 20s. And, you know, we often talk about how the world can define us and create us. And they would have never said that at all. They were just doing what they do in their age group. But all of a sudden, they found themselves in a relationship. And then all of a sudden, they found themselves with a kid. And they felt like they were doing everything right. Like, he was making very good money for a young guy who was in his mid-20s. And he was good at what he did. And just all of a sudden, he started making a lot of money and going right to the top. And so they bought a very nice house. And so many things seemed like, we got it made. But then we had to dig back in the story a little bit. He had never... he did not have a dad in his life. And he had a lot of turbulence even with his mom. And just his whole upbringing was very, very turbulent. And so early on, even in his teen years, he became very self-sufficient. I'll just do it on my own. I'll just figure it out because he is smart and he could just figure stuff out. Well, there was a sense of pride that developed in him. And in some ways, it was kind of cool. Because he was accomplishing things and doing things.
Right. But now, the world says, right?
Yeah. And so here, Emily and Austin are now married, and he's finding a way that he's starting to become successful. And so he's getting some money. He's making his way. But he has no clue about how to be a husband. And he has very little clue about how to be a good dad. In his mind, he's like, what do you mean? I bought you this house. You're able to stay home most of the time. I give you everything you want.
According to the world standards, they had the world by the
tail,
right?
According to the world standards. And so in the meantime, when Emily would try to say, I don't like where we're going, he and she would admit to being naggy. And she was not always nice with her words. And so his response to that was, well, I'll show you. And so he became cold and hardened to her needs. And the two of them, very early in this relationship, even though with lots of responsibilities now, just started drifting towards each other and becoming very passive aggressive towards each other. Now, in this relationship, there was no particular violence or anything like that. It was just nasty. All right. They would just leave each other hanging. They would they couldn't trust each other. And primarily she felt like she couldn't trust him because
kind of like a Cold War.
That's a good way to put it. And it got to the point where it was like, we need to separate. Mm. And, you know, there was something inside of both of them that said, this is really not what we want. Mm. And so that's when they came and reached out to us. And they came in right off the bat. And as part of when we, you have to get somebody's backstory a little bit. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I always ask of my men is, tell me about your dad's story, you know, tell me about your own personal dad and, mm-hmm. and what your experience was. And I could tell right off the bat that without even knowing that Austin probably didn't have a very good dad story, because mm-hmm. I could see a sense of him having a false pride. Mm-hmm. And he started to share that that he didn't have a dad story to speak of, not a positive. And I started asking him what do you guys want? Mm. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And they're in their heart of hearts. They now have two kids, and they were going, we want something better than what we're doing right now.
Wow.
And at that time, Austin was, he was proclaimed agnostic. Mm. The whole God thing was just like, oh, whatever. I just need to go out and work, you know.
Yeah. And I Emily, do it on my own.
And Emily was just more like, well, I don't know. You know, he's not doing it. So she mm-hmm. She wasn't a hard driver in it. And hun, I just started to point to the idea of, you know, well, who's your God then? Yeah. Then who's going to determine what direction you guys are going to go? And he would spend a lot of time playing video games, going out, doing his own thing. As long as he was bringing home the paycheck, mm-hmm. he thought he was good. And I called him out on it. And sometimes, you know, it's not always pleasant in the moment. No. It's that transformation. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing that I will say here is both of them took it. Mm. Both of them listened and said, maybe I do need to look at this.
Wow.
And sometimes when you have those confrontations, you're like, well,
it could go south.
Sometimes we refer like, this might blow up. And I watched a transition in Austin, even in that session, of him almost softening and going, I got some things to learn.
Got work to do.
And he went right to work. Mm. And Emily was a little bit skeptical. Mm. She was like, well, we'll see.
Right.
And so there was a major trust issue there. And I that was causing some frustration. I said, guys, just keep plugging away. Mm-hmm. Okay, trust is not rebuilt overnight. We got to just keep showing each other that we have the right intention, and we're going to try, and we're going to relearn some new practices. And within, they came in 1 week after one of those deeper talks, and they were like, guess what we did? Mm. What? We went to church.
Wow.
And not only did they go to church, they went and they started talking to the preacher afterward. And a few weeks later, they got baptized. Wow. He got baptized for the first time. Man. And so the point being here is the two finally recognized that they had to surrender to something greater.
Wow.
And now they are, you know, the coolest part about it? They have two little kids and they are seeing their two little kids in a completely different light.
That's awesome.
They are seeing this whole family structure coming together as a common unit that is a major priority. And there is now a contentment that is growing in them. Are they all that and all there? No,
none of us are.
Yeah. But the idea that they have a new light. And so they want to share that whole idea that, guys, like, humble yourself and recognize that just because you're checking a couple of the boxes, that doesn't mean that you've got it all together.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful. Man, that is so good. And that does, it gives me hope that even when you begin to drift as a couple or when you think you got it all on the outside, according to the world, you don't. And man, there is something better out there. That's an awesome story. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for Emily and Austin being willing to share that, because there's other couples out there, they're ready to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
They feel like, okay, there's nothing good here. There's nothing left. Mm-hmm. So I want to share a story with a client of mine who came about last fall. And she came feeling stuck and broken, fearful and ashamed. And her adult children had challenged her to go get help because they felt a disconnect from their mom. Their mom was very passive. Their mom was very quiet. Their mom was very had very low self-esteem. And, you know, Shannon It took 5 months for her to unpack her story, and it felt like we were hitting a wall, and she wasn't sharing what that was, and I couldn't break through. And I know now I need to start asking this question a little faster than 5 months, and that is, what happened to you? But in her situation, she had stuffed and suppressed childhood sexual abuse that she had over the course of 2 years at the hand of a trusted family member. And that trauma was stuffed so deep that it finally took her husband, who was the only person she had ever shared that trauma with, it finally took her husband saying, I think it's time to deal with that. And that's when she brought it in. And I'm telling you, when we started to unpack that, it was so scary for her. It was so shameful for her. And it was crazy how God just started to really give her hope that maybe she had lost her voice because of that. It had been over 40 years, hon, of her suppressing that trauma and not dealing with those emotions and that hurt and that pain, that she had felt captive in that little girl's body with those little girl emotions, feeling scared, feeling stuck. And I am so excited to say that she, through working through that trauma, has experienced this hope again that she can connect with her kids or adult kids. And by the way, her adult kids see that.
Oh, yeah.
They're so proud of her, which, by the way, they had no idea what mom had been through. And so one of her pieces of homework was, when she was ready, to go and share that story. And she shared that with her adult children, and they were just so touched by, one, the fact that she trusted them to share that, and two, that she was starting to find her voice. And so she's feeling unstuck. She's working on her freedom. And so she knows there's hope again, that something bigger and better could happen, and that that little 8-9-year-old girl doesn't have to be afraid anymore.
You know, hon, when you talk about stories like that, sometimes our trauma in our life is constantly leaking out of our pores, and we don't even know it, right? Yeah. Like maybe there's just always a frustration or a moodiness about us, or a certain level of a depression or anger.
Yep.
And people kind of go, what's your deal?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the idea that you ask the question, what happened to you? Yeah. You know, when you have trauma, especially, a lot of times I just don't even want to go back there again.
Yeah.
Right. But that doesn't mean the injury ever healed well.
Yeah.
And so you walk with a limp in life until you go back and you recorrect it and go, I just need to expose this.
Yeah.
And then reopening that so that it can heal better.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, you have to look like, how much damage, you know, this is 40 years ago.
Yeah.
How much damage may have occurred because she didn't heal well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. I always compare it to a splinter. You know, when you get a little splinter, and we've talked about this on shows before, where, you know, if you don't little operate right there and get that splinter out, it's going to get infected. And then it's hard, it's even sore to touch. And so then it can get really nasty if you don't get that object out of it. It doesn't belong in your body.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this trauma is. It's a foreign object that has gotten stuck inside in your heart, in your mind, in your emotions, in your past. And man, if we don't get that healed right. I got another story for you. Do we have time?
I'll give you 3.5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I want to share a story about Holly, and I asked Holly for her permission and her husband, Scott, but she came to me several years ago, actually, to Rock Solid Families, devastated after her husband left her after 28 years of marriage. They had 2 adult children. And so originally, years ago, we worked to stabilize her and to give her coping skills, because this was such an intense loss. They built a life together. And so again, that was 4 years ago, but she was devastated and she didn't know how to start over. And so I was blown away, hon, by the call I got last fall that they had reconnected and that he had moved back into the area and that they were ready to do the work to not repeat the same patterns. And so we began to do the work. And they had some very bad habits. We called them dance steps. And they were stepping on each other's toes. And they were not playing nice together. And actually, the word Cold War was Scott's word. Scott uses that the time. Like, they would go into these Cold Wars where they would just really just pout and they would just drift and they would just shut down on each other. And that was their MO. And so we began the hard work of recognizing the old patterns of behavior that caused some really intense hurt toward each other. And they started to learn how to communicate and resolve conflict. And I'm just happy to say, and I actually just asked them recently if they could share with our listeners and offer some hope. And so these are actually their words that they wanted me to share with you. And first, Scott said he would want you to know that with God, all things are possible. And that actually, I told him, I was like, well, that'll preach, because that's actually Matthew 19:26. Jesus actually said that. He said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. And then Holly said, you know, you have to surrender your way for his. This was not the path that she had chosen. This is not the way she wanted her life to live and be with her husband. But it definitely got their attention to do the work, to make some changes so that they can have a life, I think, a marriage that they've never had.
Yeah. I mean, I could spend hours and hours on just that point. The first one is very churchy. With God, all things are possible. Okay. Which, and we do believe that, but it sounds like, oh yeah, right. Okay. But surrendering is a part on your part of saying, dropping your pride and saying, I don't know how to do this. This isn't working for me. And that's the last thing Satan wants you to do is surrender to God's way. And but, you know, these transformations, our own personal transformations that we talked about last week, the transformations that we were talking about right now, took, and in Austin and Emily's case, it took both of them, but Austin going, I guess I don't know it all.
Okay. I guess I got things to learn.
Yeah. And just that humbling is like, man, that surrender is, we're not trained to surrender. Surrender seems to be a weakness, right? And so our pride keeps us from it. But man, that one right there, we could preach on that all day.
You know, we're not naive to think that every story is going to bring restoration and restoring of the marriage. You know, I have another client, Jen, who has shared her story before on our blog that, you know, her story ended up in divorce. And in her mind, this one, it says, he makes a way when there is no way. She couldn't see how she could actually go out on her own and be able to take care, because she was a stay-at-home mom. And so she didn't have any income. She wasn't working and she didn't have money saved. And so, and this was devastating to her, but God was faithful. She was faithful to the Lord and God was faithful to her. And so she would say today that she has peace, even though she's not married anymore, that he made a way when there seemed to be no way. And, you know, this last one that Holly and Scott shared with me, it says, sometimes you can't see him working, but he hears your prayers and he knows your needs. And so it may not turn out the way, you know, you may ask him to answer your prayer and his answer may be no. But it means that he has a better yes. And so, or maybe it's not yet, like Scott and Holly, you know, Holly prayed for years that her marriage would be restored. And so, you know, 4 years later, they're getting what they've never had before. So sometimes we just have to be patient that God does hear us, see us, and he's working even when we can't see him.
So let's talk about a little bit, hon, about how we can maybe with a 30,000 foot view, generalize some of these things so that any of you that are out listening and either you're in some transformation or you see the need for transformation or maybe you've come through it, how we can actually start to look at that and view that. And so we have some different points here. You know, I think the first thing here is invite God into the picture. Pray to him. Okay. Talk with him. This Austin had no clue about even doing that. Right. And so the idea that you start to invite God in because God wants to know your heart. he needs to know that heart, right? And he wants it to be revealed. And so you have to start talking to him.
Okay, I'm going to have confidence here of saying that I have a feeling there were people around Emily and Austin that were praying for them because they didn't know what to say or do. They saw things drifting and crumbling. And so I have a feeling there were people, whether it be parents or friends, that were praying for Emily and Austin. They didn't even realize that. So if you see a hopeless situation, whether it be, you know, somebody in your life that's struggling or a decision that you're struggling to make or a desperate situation, like invite God in, as you said, and pray, ask him, tell him, God, I want this. Please, God, I'm asking you to help, Lord, intervene and trust that he hears you.
Yeah. The second point would be that idea of, and this is really hard depending on where you came from, okay, is actively seek out God's direction through his word.
Yeah.
And so we talk about this all the time at our work at Rock Solid Families. You know, we do not practice like baptizing people and things like that. That's for churches and other entities to do. Our job is like, well, what's God's word just say about how we should live a life?
Right.
How we should parent kids, how we should spend money, how we should spend time, how we should do marriage. So seek out God's word because that he buries the direction all throughout that word. And this is that humbling where you say, okay, I thought I had all of the right steps in place, but it was just sort of what I thought.
Yes. Okay. Aligning yourself with God's word. He's not going to bless it unless it's lined up with his word. I had a client one time who felt like the Lord was leading her out of her marriage and into another relationship. And she would say to me over and over again, I believe, don't you think God wants me to be happy? Don't you think God wants me to be happy? And so I said, well, let's look at God's word. What does he say about that? Does he want you to leave your marriage to go find another man? I'm saying you need to pray about it, but then don't think that God just puffed this, you know, hot looking guy at your workplace that makes you happy and think that that's God's will if it doesn't align with his word.
Yeah, God's not going to allow sin to be your remedy for your unhappiness.
Amen. That's a perfect way to say
it. And so then the next point then, because this is where you and I would have struggled. Okay, so I'm trying to figure out what you're saying, follow God's word. Well, I don't even know where to begin. And so the next point is seek godly counsel, seek good counsel, okay? The idea that you ask to be coached, that you ask to be mentored, you ask to be taught. And so, you know, this is a very foreign thing to many of us. And it may mean I just need to knock on my priest's door and say, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. And let that person start talking to you. But maybe it's just a good friend who is somebody who would honor God's word. Okay.
Yeah.
But start to seek that godly good counsel.
Yeah. Each of our clients, hon, reached out to us. We didn't go seeking these clients.
Right.
They reached out to us. They were referred to us or they found us online or, you know, whatever. And they were scared and they were stuck and they were feeling hopeless.
Yeah.
And that's when healing begins.
Yeah. Okay. And the last idea here is to discern your next step based on the above three in your current circumstances. So in other words, assess where you are currently. Look at where you are and try to actually spend some time. So this is, I'm working with a gentleman right now and he was frustrated with me. And we actually laughed today a little bit about it because I said, this week your homework is to sit and to be quiet. In other words, I said, I need you to sit in this and I need you to really evaluate where you are and soak in the pain and the confusion because he's a fixer. And he just wants to buy a new toy or a new fix or a new medicine or a new whatever just to make this go away. And I said, this week, I just need you to sit. I need you to start really assessing where you are and what you want and why you're uncomfortable. And so assessing where you are and maybe how you got there, just keep your mind open so that you can start to hear messages and God speaking to you.
Yeah. Our God is a good, good God. And he wants to bless you. So don't be afraid to receive his love and favor. I mean, there is the verse that talks about he lavishes his love on us. And so look around and see what he's already doing. See what he wants to do next. And, you know, and it's not, it's okay to receive his blessing and to the circumstances be that you take that job or you move out of town or you start that relationship, you know, trust him to take that next step. But again, as you said, hon, make sure you've done the top three, that you've mm-hmm. prayed and offered it to him, that you have aligned your decisions and your direction with God's word, and that you're surrounding yourself with wise biblical counsel. Hun, I go back to Kendra. She had put the words and the attitude and the opinions of her men in her life mm-hmm. above God, even when she knew it was not good. And that was because the men's MO, and this is often the case in of abuse, is isolation to keep you away from wise counsel so that you won't hear someone else's opinion.
Hun, you prompted me a little bit that God wants to show you favor.
Yes, okay? He wants to bless you.
And I just finished Stephen Curtis Chapman's biography. And, you know, Stephen and his wife, they lost a daughter, okay? Mm-hmm. Their four-year-old daughter, Marie, was hit by a car, and the car happened to be driven by their 17-year-old son. And so this was major tragedy, okay? Major, major. But Stephen grew up in the church, but now he recognizes that he is a task doer, a task checker, and he had a works-oriented faith. And he always felt like, if I do this, I'll get this. If I only do it at a half level, I'll only get half the pay. And so he was always monitoring everything he did. He'd look at his blessing and he'd go, well, this is why it's not what it should be. I have to do more. I have to do more. And through all of his success in his music and the concerts, he's making a lot of money and he's feeling miserable about it.
Guilty.
Yeah. He's like, we're not doing enough. Like, and so he thinks when he loses his daughter that this is part of, he's not
punishment.
Doing enough. Yeah. And they grappled with that whole thing. Like, and finally, God said, it is up to me to bless you however I want. And I can bless you as ridiculously as I want. And
that's how he felt God speaking to him.
Yeah. And because his wife kept saying, you know, they lived in a little bitty house. They had all these kids. They lived as if they were almost.
Offers, yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, please, you know, and she wasn't trying to be materialistic. He even says how frugal and everything that she is. And finally, he's like, oh my gosh, I was limiting God based off of my work.
Wow.
God wants to bless us.
Yeah.
And so he literally, for Christmas, he gave her a home book, a home plans book. And he said, dream as big as you want to dream. God has blessed us and we're going to do it. And she started crying. And that spring, they brought in a bulldozer and bulldozed her house over, bulldozed the old house, and they built a beautiful home. So the point is to stop living guilty. All right. God wants to bless you. And as long as you're out there living, it is not about all of you being perfect and trying to check every box. It's about you just using your gifts to serve and to love on people and God. And so,
That's cool. That's a fun story.
It was a story about guilt.
Yeah.
Living in guilt.
Driven, like, works-based mentality.
Yeah. And so I just thought I'd share that. Like, man, even out of Stephen Curtis, who's up there on the stage and he's singing all that, he's like, I could sing every song you ever want to know about loving God. And he goes, I didn't quite really understand how I was trying to put God in a box.
And I know enough about Stephen Curtis Chapman is I know he's going to give God the glory. You know, he's not going to squander his dollars. He's not going to be ungenerous. He's got an amazing adoption organization that helps with worldwide adoptions. And so you too can have a story of hope, okay? A testimony of what God has done and what he's doing in your life. There's nothing special about us or any of the stories we shared today. You know, God wants us to brag on him and the power. When he moves, he radically transforms your life. Don't be afraid to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so guys, we want to thank you for listening. We want to just pray for you if you're in that situation of struggling and wondering what do I have to hope for? Where is my hope? You know, if you're in need We could be part of that council. And, yeah. and so please reach out to us. You can go to our website and see what we have there, and you can contact us, rocksolidfamilies.org. Mm. You can call our office, even if you're not in our local area. Mm-hmm. We do Zoom calls, and so we could meet you anywhere at any time practically. And so our office is 812-576-7625. Yeah. I think the idea here is you do not have to live a hopeless life, okay? No. God can't wait to transform you into his way, and his way is his nature, and it is it always is good. That's what God is, good, okay? And so stop living this garbage life and settling because you don't think you're worthy enough.
Yeah, as we say all the time, there is hope and help available. We just got to open our eyes and be willing to receive it and reach out for help. Jesus is our redeemer. It's not our spouse, it's not our children, it's not our career. That none of that can save us. None of that is going to really satisfy, right? It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone.
Yeah. All right. So again, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction for coming alongside the Rock Solid Family Podcast. Again, feel free to reach out to us. Please share the shows. Give us a 5-star rating to help messages like this become part of the conversation out there, so that people know that there is hope, that there is a better way, and it doesn't have to be through anything other than God, because God does provide. So please help share the show.
Yeah. So thanks again for listening to the Rock Solid Families Podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day.
Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families Podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200.